2 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul has been telling the Corinthians of those things that he's endured in their behalf. And in verse 4, we begin reading, it says, "But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastening and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things." Now, without going through every one of these phrases that Paul puts here, we can look at the overview of it and see that what it is that he's telling them is, it has not mattered what befell us, we have sought to proclaim the Word of God in the midst of it all. As he said, we went forth in order, he says, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things showing ourselves approved as the ministers of God in all of these various trials and troubles that came along, whether, he says, by honor and dishonor. Now, you know, sometimes people praise the preacher and sometimes they don't praise him. They say, "Well, you don't know what you're talking about." He says, "I've been in both cases." He says, "I've been patted on the back and kicked in the behind." He says, "By honor and dishonor. Doesn't make any difference." He said, "By evil report and good report." He said, "We've had some go forth and say good things about the things we've said." He said, "We've had others that go forth and they spread, say evil things." They say, "Well, Paul, he's preaching this stuff so that we might go out and sin, that grace may abound." That's an evil report. Paul never said that. You know, I mean, people, you know, there are those, even many who claim to be the followers of Christ, who bring evil reports against the Word of God because it doesn't fit their narrative. Now, we have to be careful about that, that we don't fall into the same trap when somebody comes along saying something that might, the Lord may use to smite us in the heart, but we say, "Oh, well, that doesn't fit according to my little thought process here about this particular word of doctrine that I believe." Now, that's not to say we throw off the word of doctrine, but, dear brethren, the whole point of sound doctrine is that the Spirit of God might teach us in heart, that we might, by desire, be the followers of Christ, to be like Him. I mean, that's the point of salvation, is that we might be brought out of darkness and into the light, not just so we might go to heaven when we die. Now, that's kind of how a lot of people view what they call getting saved is, well, you need to get saved. Well, what they mean is you're on the path to hell and you need to get off of that path and get over here on the path to heaven. Well, that's not really what the picture is. The work of salvation, of course, we know is accomplished by Christ from beginning to end. And He's bringing His people out of darkness and into the light. He does that initially, but He is constantly doing that. He's teaching us. But the reason He's teaching us is so that we might be knowledgeable of what it is Christ would have us to do in this world. Now, He's able to do that, and He does do that. And so we don't have to worry about whether or not it's going to be done, because He is going to do that. Now, the Scripture we read, I believe it's in the book the Lord said those things that can be shaken are going to be shaken. In other words, the tree is going to be shaken so that those things that are approved might remain. Those things that cannot be shaken will remain. And those things that can be shaken will be shaken off. And that's why, as Paul speaks here about these many stripes and troubles that he went through, the Lord used these things to demonstrate what the Lord, that Paul was approved of God. Because he came through these things. He didn't cast it off. How many times could Paul have just said, that's enough, I've had it, I'm not going back there? I mean, he was shipwrecked, he was beaten, he was left for dead. And yet in all these things, he said, doesn't make a difference to me. He said, because I'm a dead man already. He says, I die daily. He says, I'm not worried about that. He says, I've got a mission to accomplish that the Lord has given me, and that's what he's speaking about here. He said, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. He said, I won't do anything that would be detrimental to this one cause that I have. As unknown, well, he says, as deceivers, and yet true. Now, there are those that would say, you know, especially, this is especially true when men preach the gospel of grace. There are those that will come along and tell men, well, don't follow that because they'll deceive you. Well, dear brethren, the Word of God is the Word of God, and it doesn't deceive anybody except those who are going to be deceived. And so the truth of God is its own friend. And when we look at the Word of God, whether we like it or not, it is what it is. Now, there's a lot of things in there that I don't like. A lot of things that really smite me in the heart. But nonetheless, the Word of God is true, whether you like it or whether you don't. And so there are some who are going to say that those who preach the truth of God are deceivers because does not line up with the natural thinking of men. And of course, you know, there are certain truths that men have ingrained in their mind that it's hard for them to turn loose of. One is that they have the ability and the power to seek God whenever they get ready. Now, if you ask most people, can you seek the Lord, they would say yes. But you see, it's only when a man learns what he is by nature, by the work of the Spirit of God, that he says, I can't do anything unless the Lord helps me because I'm in a sad situation. He's saying, when the Spirit of God moves in a man's heart, he will desire to seek the Lord, but he knows what an uphill thing that is. He sees, well, Lord, if you don't help me, I'm going to perish. Now, a lot of people, they just figure, well, they'll just make a little decision, they'll join the church, they'll do whatever, and everything will be all right. And they'll just go on and live their life, and they'll have a little place over here set aside for their religious life, and they'll go on. But you see, when Christ saves a man, he doesn't make things, the following him, to be an optional thing, but he burns that into the soul of a man, and he becomes like Peter. When the Lord asked him, when many of the disciples went away to walk no more with him, he asked Peter, or he asked the disciples, he said, well, will you also go away? And Peter answered in the words of true faith, Lord, to whom shall we go? That's the words of eternal life. Now you see, those who believe in Christ are in that situation. We're between a rock and a hard place. I mean, we know that we don't have any power to do anything, and our whole hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. That's the only thing we've got. And as Paul told these Corinthians over there in the 15th chapter, he said, unless you've believed in vain. Now, if these things that we're telling you, and these things that are in the Scripture, and these things which we come to know to be true, if these things are not true, then guess what? We've believed in vain. But he said, we've not believed in vain. Because these things are true. These things have been testified to, not only by the Spirit in our heart, but by my many men who walked with Him and saw Him and testify to us, He said, of these very things. that these things occurred. And so, this is a glorious thing as Paul sets forth here. He says, as deceivers, it's almost a good thing when men accuse you of being a deceiver if what you're telling them is what the Word of God says. Because it cannot be that you would deceive a man if you tell him this is what's true, regardless of what he thinks about it or how he. I remember hearing, I think it was John Riesinger, was talking about he was in a meeting, or it might have been, I don't remember who it was, but anyway, he was in a meeting, and there was a real outcry against what he was preaching, as he was preaching the truth of God, what some people call the doctrines of grace. And he was in a Baptist church, and they weren't really wanting to listen to what he had to say, but they had a bunch of questions, and so they had a question period. And whenever when he started off the meeting, he got up and he read the 9th chapter of Romans. And one of the deacons got up and said, "I don't believe a word of what he said." And he said, "Well, I didn't do anything but read the scripture." He said, "Well, I don't believe the way you read it." And so, you know, that's how it is when men rebel against the truth. That's the natural way of men. If things don't sound just like they think they ought to sound, if they don't empower men. See, the humanist concept that has permeates the minds of men by nature is that man has this intrinsic worth and value that causes him to be valuable to God, and God's just trying to do something to help him out. Now, brethren, if you've got that view of things, then you're in trouble. Because you'll never come to an understanding of the truth apart from the grace of God opening your eyes to see that man, as David said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" He said, "Why on earth are you concerned? Why on earth would you take notice of men?" Because men are like the dog that bites the hand that feeds it. And at every overture of kindness that the Lord shows to men, they turn away from Him. And they don't listen to Him. And they harbor ill will in their heart towards Him. And they raise their clenched fist against God. And they say, "We don't want this man to rule over us." Now, why would the Lord be mindful of such as that? Because of His love and grace and mercy to those people whom He has loved in Christ from before the foundation of the world. That's the reason. And, you know, a man can't ever understand that, and he don't want to listen to that. He don't want to hear that. They want to hear that God loves everybody the same and just giving everybody a chance. You got one chance. You got a chance. Today's your chance. Brother, we're in trouble if we just got a chance. Because you, how many chances have you had in your life to do the right thing and you did the wrong thing? Huh? How many? I mean, can you count them? So what makes you think that you would ever be saved if it was left up to chance? But by the grace of God, it's not left up to chance. It's left up to the mercy of God, who is great in mercy and kind in all of His dealings with the sons of men. And so it is that we will often be considered as being deceivers. And sometimes people will say, "Well, I believe that's true. As unknown and yet well known. Dying, behold, we live. Chastened, not killed." It doesn't make a difference to us. Whatever happens to us, sorrowful yet always rejoicing. This is a veil of tears, is it not? And when we speak about that, some people say, "Oh, well, we don't like that. That's negative. We don't want to talk about it being a veil of tears." Well, it is a veil of tears. It is a veil of sorrows. And if a man's acquainted with his sin, he'll know there's a place of sorrow, because the greatest place of sorrow that will ever exist in any man is not the things that happen to him when somebody dies or when something, you know, somebody gets sick or all of these things that the world calls to be sorrowful things. That won't hold a candle to the sorrow that exists in the heart of the man that knows himself to be a sinner and has a desire to walk in a manner that's pleasing to God. That causes him to be sorrowful, does it not? But the world doesn't know anything about that sorrow, and the natural man can't understand it. He can't grip it. He'd rather raise his fist in anger because God takes someone that he loved away, or whatever. And he says, well, why'd God do this, and why'd God do that? Even say, that's what Job's wife was saying to him, wasn't it? Why don't you just curse God and die? I mean, the Lord, he's brought all this stuff on you, and what'd you do to deserve it? Job said, you're a foolish woman. You're a foolish woman. He said, shall we receive good from the hand of the Lord and not evil? He said, naked came I from the womb, and naked shall I go back. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, dear brethren, you see, that is the work of grace in a man's heart. Because he comes to the place where he knows that the Lord is the Lord. And as sorrowful, yet rejoicing. We have much sorrow in this world, but oh, there is great rejoicing. Because you see, the sorrow is not that which overwhelms us. Even to the grave, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? For the strength of sin is the law, but the grace of God has delivered us from all of that. Because you see, Christ is that one who has blooded the sting of death in our behalf. O ye Corinthians, he says, our mouth is open to you. Our heart is enlarged, he said. We have given of ourselves to you. Our mouth's open. Our heart is enlarged. He says, we love you. We desire the best for you. We've given to you. We're sent forth for you. But he said, but you're not straitened in us. He says, you're not hemmed in by us. That's what the word straitened means. It means hemmed in. He said, you're not hemmed in by us. But listen to what he said here. Ye are straitened in your own bowels. He said, you're not following Christ because of me. He says, you're not caused to desire the things of God because of me. He said, but you are straitened in your own bowels. That is, in your heart, in your soul. He said, it is the work of God in you. You see, we're not trying to get the people of God to do something. What Paul said is, look, the work of grace is the work that God performs in you. He works in us. Isn't that what he said? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Has he not been laying this upon them and showing them? Look, he's saying, don't serve the Lord because I told you to. Don't say, well, you know, that we need to do this or we need to do that because this doctrine says to do it. He said, you're not straightened by us. You're not hemmed in by us. You're hemmed in by your bowels, that is, by the work of God in you. This is that which constrains you. Is that not what he said? For the love of Christ constraineth us. Is that not what the message that he has been bringing to them is? But you're not straitened in us. You're straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak unto my children. Be ye also enlarged. He said, same thing he said to the Romans. He said, reckon ye yourselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Same thing he said in the 8th chapter of Romans, where he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And then the second part of that verse is glorious. or the second verse. He says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. We're not laboring along trying to fulfill a law, but by the grace of God, He's constraining our hearts to love Him. And because we love Him, we love His way. We love His law. See, we don't have the law hanging out here for us, and we're saying, well, we love Christ, but here's the law, and we've got to serve the law. No, we serve Christ. Christ is the law unto us. And if He says, I want you to walk in this manner, what are we going to say? Oh, no, Lord, we're not going to do that. No. Would we really love Him if we said that? Of course not. No, the work of the Spirit in us is to cause us to desire to walk in His way. If Christ said, love your neighbor as yourself, do you say, well, Lord, that's good advice for somebody, but not for me? If He said, you don't need to go take something that belongs to somebody else. You say, well, that's okay for them. I'm not under the law, so I'm going to go take something from somebody. No. It doesn't have anything to do with the law, does it? I mean, do you wake up and read the Ten Commandments each day? It won't hurt you to, but I mean, that's not the purpose. That's not the thing that we're called to do, is to guide our lives according to the Ten Commandments. Now, if you're running contrary to the Ten Commandments, says you better look out and watch out and see what it is that's constraining you. Because who gave those Ten Commandments? The Lord Jesus Christ. And so we don't disregard these things. But that's not the rule of our life. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. And that's what He says right here. I speak unto my children, be also enlarged. And then He gives them an exhortation. And He says, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Because what do unbelievers say? Oh, and when I'm saying unbelievers, I'm not necessarily talking about somebody maybe that is an atheist. And that's not what He's talking about. He's talking about those who claim to be believers, but who are unbelievers. And He said, don't be unequally yoked with them. Because you see, those who believe what He's saying here, you don't need to be yoked up with somebody who is saying something different than that. Be ye not unequally yoked with those who are in bondage, who are in darkness, who set up rules and regulations for you to follow and say, but if you'll do these things, you'll be blessed in the sight of the Lord. Now, isn't that primarily what we're hearing on every side of us? Is you do this and God will do that. Dear brethren, that's not the message Paul was preaching. His message is, Christ has taught us to follow Him. You're constrained by love to do so. It is the work of the Spirit in you, who works in you both the will and to do of His good pleasure. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? I mean, how can two walk together, it says in someplace in the Scriptures, except they be agreed. How can they walk together? Light and darkness do not mix. And so it's impossible to have fellowship. Now that doesn't mean you can't speak to somebody or whatever. It's not talking about that. But fellowship is communion. It's close. A close bond, is it not? That's what fellowship is. We have fellowship with Christ. We have fellowship with one another. But we can't have fellowship with those who deny and despise the truth of God, can we? I mean, how can we? If a man says, well, that's a bunch of baloney, how can I embrace him and say, well, man, that's great? I can't do that. That's what he says. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, I didn't say, and I'm not saying that everybody has to have the same doctrinal understanding that we have. There's a difference in having doctrinal understanding and believing the truth of God. Now, I see it all the time. Yet when a man who is constrained by the love of Christ, when he hears the name of Christ exalted, you know what he'll do? Even if it's a doctrinal message that he doesn't agree with every jot and tittle of it, do you know what he'll do? He'll praise the Lord. He can't help it. If you hear Christ exalted and man abased, it doesn't make a difference who says it or what their doctrinal leaning might be, does it? See, we have fellowship with one another in Christ. And we can't be unequally yoked with those who despise Christ. I mean, if a man comes saying, I wouldn't listen to none of this stuff, and I wouldn't have nothing to do with the Christ who would die on the cross for His elect people. Now, how you gonna have fellowship with such a person as that? Huh? How could it be? Now, he might not be able to completely understand it, but when he hears that Jesus Christ died for sinners whom he loved with an everlasting love, and he does not rejoice in that, what's wrong with him? Huh? Can you have fellowship? Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Now, usually this is cast in a morality standpoint. And I'm not saying there's not some of that. You know, if a brother comes and he's saying, man, all the right things, but he's walking over here in darkness as far as conformity to the way of Christ, he's got a lifestyle that's contrary to the Word of God, can I have fellowship with him? No. I don't have to hate him, but I can't have fellowship with him. I can't embrace what he's doing. I can't say, well, that's fine if it's contrary to the way of God. So that's what he says. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? It simply cannot be. And we can't ever approve of that which God does not approve of. That may tell us what it is. Or where it happens, or if it's in us, or whatever. We can't approve it. We can't say it's fine. What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, he defines who his people are, does he not? Pretty straightforwardly. He said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. How did he get to be his people? He said, they'll be my people. And he said, I'll walk among them. Now, if the Lord doesn't walk with us, dear brethren, we've got no reason to think that we're of the Lord, do we? I mean, if we despise the way of God and we go contrary to the very things that He has taught us in His Word, what reason do we have to believe that we're walking with Him if we have no regard to them? Now, Paul said, in no uncertain terms, you know, I often find myself doing the things that I don't want to do. But I do want to do some things. See, the man that doesn't care whether he walks with God or not has no evidence of the Lord working in him. But the man who desires to be conformed to the image of Christ, to walk among men in the fashion that he said, to be as harmless as doves, wise as serpents, to be full of mercy and kindness and gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. You see, that's the work of the Spirit of God working in us. Now, we don't always see those things in ourselves, do we? if you always do, then you're probably not looking real close. But we desire them. We want them. I mean, we're not opposed to it. We're not saying, oh, well, we don't want nothing to do with that. No, we want to be compassionate people. We want to be merciful people. We want to be kind people. We desire it. Not just saying, everybody would say, do you want, if you ask somebody, do you want to be kind? Well, what would they say? Yes. But I'm talking about you desire it in the inward parts. You don't want to just do kind things. You want to be kind. You want kindness to rule in your mind. You want to be that. Not because you want to fulfill some religious obligation or so that somebody will pat you on the back or put your name on a plaque down at the courthouse. You know, none of that stuff. Paul said, as known and yet unknown. He said, I don't care if anybody ever knows my name. You see, if there's nobody left on earth but you, are those the things that you desire? Then there's reason to believe that the Spirit of God works in you, because He said, ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. He didn't say, I may dwell in them. He didn't say, I will dwell in them if they let me. He didn't say, I'll try to dwell in them. He said, I will dwell in them. And walk in them. And I will be their God. He said, I will be. I'm not going to hope to be. I will be. And they shall be my people. Wherefore, if this is true, we always need to know what the wherefores and the therefores are there for. And they are summing up. This is the end of the, not the end of the argument, but this is a very important thing. He said, if these things be true, wherefore? Come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Almighty. Now, this is a quotation from the Old Testament, Isaiah 52, which the Lord spoke through the prophet. And He was saying to the people of Israel, that if you would come out from among these people and be a separate people, excuse me, I'll walk among you. Now, if we left it at that, these verses right here, then there would be grounds, I suppose, if that was only two verses that you had, that you could build a case for men being able to be received by the Lord. Because that's what it says, doesn't it? It says, wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and if you will do these things, I will receive you. I mean, pretty straightforward, is it not? And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So if we just pull that verse out, we don't say anything else, we don't know anything else about what the Scripture says, and we don't read any more verses, then we could build a case for, all right, here's what you need to do to be the sons of God. Don't touch the unclean thing. And you got it. I mean, for well said as that, doesn't it? But then look at what He says in verse 7. Having therefore, now remember, He's had a wherefore, now He's got a therefore. He said, wherefore, and now He says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved. Well, now what is the promise that we have? See, He brings up the Old Testament Scripture where the Lord said, if you'll do these things, then you'll be my people. To show them, to illustrate to them what He just told them in verse 16. He says, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, if we took 17 and 18 out, and then we come over here, having therefore these promises, what's the promise? God said, I will walk among them. They will be my people. I will perform a work in them. I will draw them unto myself. I will cause them to love me. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Because you see, the Lord is the one who performs the work, and He draws His people unto Himself. And so the man who's going out here and he says, okay, well, we don't want to touch the unclean thing. Well, brethren, let me tell you something. Everything in this world is unclean. There's not a thing in this world that you could ever touch that would not be in some fashion tainted with sin. It's not talking about that. It's showing what it is that God has called His people to. Now, some will accuse us if we say that. Oh, well, we're just telling the people of God they can just go off out here and do anything. Well, I can tell you this. There's not one thing on earth that can ever bring you into condemnation before Almighty God if you belong to Him. And if Jesus Christ paid the price for your sin, I can tell you that beyond a shadow of a doubt. That's the absolute truth. But I can also tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that verse 16 of chapter 6 is absolutely true. And God has said, I will dwell with them. So you see, the work of God is to perform that which He demands. Jesus Christ has done it. And the Spirit of God does perform it in the people of God at the present time, according to the good pleasure of His will. Now, does that mean that we always do the right thing, the good thing, or even the thing that we know to be good or right? And the Scripture is plainly full of truth that shows that that's not the case because of this sinful flesh. But dear brethren, this sinful flesh cannot, does not, and will not ever prevent the Spirit of the living God from working in us, through us, according to the good pleasure of His will, as He sees fit. Can we explain all of that? Absolutely not. You know, can I look at what somebody does and say, well, that was a good thing? Or I can say, well, that was predestined, so it was good. No, there's a lot of things that's predestined that to me just seems like terrible. I mean, if a man, you know, goes off and leaves his wife and children, is that a good thing? I don't think it's a good thing. But was it predestined? I mean, if God's God, it was. Now, you see, what men want to do when they're talking about predestination is excuse themselves. Well, predestination doesn't excuse anybody from anything. We see that with what you've been talking about Pharaoh. Pharaoh's heart was hardened by the Lord. He was predestined to be destroyed. Yes, he was. Now, was Pharaoh guilty? Yes, he was. Could he say anything in the day of judgment? No, he can't. So you see, the Lord constrains His people. He works in His people. That's what the Spirit of God does. And the people of God, you see, we're called not to be those that serve God in running around here like rats fearful of the cat coming. A lot of people, that's the way they serve God. They're like, they'll not do that. God will, you know, He'll be here any minute. He'll get us if we do it. Listen, we fear God. If you don't fear God, then you don't know Him. Our God's a consuming fire. But you see, we don't fear Him. We don't serve Him out of that sort of slavish fear. But we're constrained. Paul said, you're not strengthened in us. We can't cause you to do anything. I mean, I could tell you what you need to do, and I could give you a book tomorrow and take it home, memorize this, and do all these things, and you'll be all right. It wouldn't do you any good because you're not straightened by us. You're straightened by your own bowels, by the work of the Spirit of God in you. For it is God which worketh in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure.